A poll out this month from the University of Michigan finds 45% of adults aged 50 to 64 are worried they won't be able to afford insurance in retirement. Another 19% decided to stay in their current job rather than changing jobs or retiring just to keep their health coverage. But often as Americans age, it's up to their kids to handle questions of finances and health care. One woman who found herself in this situation is now helping guide others. Joining us now is Christine Dodd, Chief Executive and Founder of Elder Navigator, a company that helps people with elder health care decisions in Northeast Ohio. Christine, welcome.
Hello, Jeremy. Thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Well, and it sounds like you have learned a lot from your own journey caring for your mom and dad. I understand your dad passed away in October, so our condolences.
Thank you.
For your loss. What happened with your dad, and how did you fit into it?
Well, my dad was healthy and active in August, and they found, however, after some back pain, some lesions on his pancreas, which required surgery, which then was diagnosed as pancreatic cancer. Although my father successfully survived the surgery, there were myriad complications in the surgery, after the surgery, and he quite honestly didn't die of pancreatic cancer. He died of infections like C. diff and sepsis at the hospital that were unrelated to the surgery, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. And you were with them along the way?
I was with my father for 9 weeks, 10 hours a day. I have my own business, so I was fortunate to have some flexibility to be there.
And now you're caring for your mom?
Yes. My mom has a rare autoimmune disorder, which so far so good, but we are navigating ourselves through two departments at the Cleveland Clinic right now.
And your mom is how old at this point?
73.
Mm-hmm. And your father was?
73. Uh-huh. So still relatively young.
Still relatively young, yeah. And you didn't see any of this coming?
No, my dad had some back pain, which turned into pancreatic cancer a few weeks later.
And you have experience as a healthcare lawyer, but even you felt lost when making the best decisions on healthcare for your parents.
Yeah, I'm a healthcare lawyer, and I worked in the House and Senate writing some of the healthcare laws myself when I was a bit younger, and I found it very difficult to navigate this complex system, and I had good relationships and contact with the nurses on a daily basis, so I could gather as much information as I needed. But after talking to friends and colleagues who've gone through this, you do feel pretty helpless and alone through most of the process.
What is the toughest part of this? Is it the insurance companies? Is it just coordinating with different doctors or what?
I think it's coordinating with different doctors is a real challenge. My dad had a team. And one thing I didn't know, and part of the reason I was there all the time, is you really need to be there at 7 a.m. when the doctors start their rounds to get the information. The nurses can give you updates, but the doctors typically round at 7 and 5:30. And also, you need to find out if the insurance company covers a skilled nursing facility, for example. And so there are insurance challenges as well.
And so you have started a business that helps people do exactly this.
Yeah. My dad's journey inspired me to want to help others. And I set up a business, Elder Navigator, which helps from patient appointments to the inpatient stay to discharge planning. I wrote a newspaper article about my journey that was actually published the day my dad died. I've got a lot of feedback from that. I think we're all going to be caregivers if we're not already. And so I think the article and the subject really resonates.
You pointed out in that article that you noticed a woman who had no family members to help her. That must be a common situation as well.
Yes, we were at a cancer center in Cleveland where my dad was recovering, and I noticed a lot of people, one lady in particular, did not have anyone to help her. There's a new trend of people out there called elder orphans, which, you know, don't have children nearby or spouses. Some of the children are working late and managing their own children and are part of the sandwich generation, so it's difficult for them to get to the hospital.
The sandwich generation, what does that mean?
It's people like my sister who was caring for little children as well as elder parents at the same time, as well as working. So they're kind of sandwiched between responsibilities.
That's Christine Dodd, who is Chief Executive and Founder of Elder Navigator. That's a company that helps people make decisions about health care for elderly people in Northeast Ohio. Christine, thank you.
Thank you.
And now let's bring in Joe Coughlin, director of MIT's Age Lab. He's author of The Longevity Economy, Unlocking the World's Fastest Growing, Most Misunderstood Market. Joe, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
So first of all, how common is it for people to think that their spouse or a family member is just going to take care of all these things when they get sick late in life and that they don't have to plan ahead?
Well, there's actually a twofold answer to that. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, most of us can see ourselves dead before we can see ourselves needing care. Mm. So one of the problems with having a caregiver or planning ahead is we really don't see ourselves needing it in the future. But when we do, we kind of loathe the idea that our children would have to step in and, frankly, not wanting to be a burden to our family either.
So, therefore, should you go out and try to find somebody to help you navigate this, even if you are totally healthy and fine?
It's interesting. Retirement planning, especially as the population ages, is becoming a greater and greater issue. But we only focus on the money element, and of course that's necessary. But yes, we need to start planning ahead for how will we receive care? Who do we want to provide it? How will we pay for it? And what will the quality be?
And how big is the industry when you look out there and see all the options available to you?
It's interesting. There is an industry, but it is highly fragmented. I would argue that most of the, shall we say, formal caregivers, the social workers, the nurses and the like, believe it or not, are mostly mom and pop shops. Hmm. There are some large franchises out there. But the diversity of care and the different needs that you will have makes it an incredible challenge for anyone to integrate all these services and systems and administration that goes with it.
So how do you go about finding somebody that you can trust to help you?
Well, the first thing is you have to ask yourself, what is the job you're trying to get done? Is it coordination of specialists and pharmacists and treatments in the hospital? Then you're going to be looking for someone who's probably a nurse or a former nurse from that system. So they don't just understand it, but they actually know the people. Is it about staying at home? Then maybe you'd want somebody who specializes in social work and being able to do an assessment of the house to make sure that the person can stay there healthy and longer. And is it about technology? Well, believe it or not, there are certain commercial companies that are now coming out there to be able to come into your home, do an audit, and to install the technologies necessary. So unfortunately, the biggest job for caregiving, which tends to be the oldest adult daughter, is navigating the system.
Navigating the system in what ways? What is difficult that we wouldn't know just from basic knowledge, but that we would need to know at that point?
Well, unfortunately, aging is not for wimps, and it gets much more complicated as we age. And so, for instance, most of us are used to the idea of just going to see our doctor. Mm-hmm. And with any luck, we just need that one doctor and we're good. But with the average older adult having two or three, maybe four chronic conditions, that could be two or three or four or more specialists. So what's complicated is getting the doctors to talk to the doctors. The fact that you're taking multiple medications that need to be taken at the right time and the right dose with the right meal and the like. So suddenly it's not just about the care itself, but think about the administration that goes with it. Who's paying and the like.
Well, and you haven't mentioned insurance companies, and that's got to be a big part of it too, is trying to navigate that and make sure that everything gets paid for.
And as an adult child, there's nothing more fun than explaining to an elderly loved one who does not want any bills on their table to show them a bill from the insurance company says, this is not a bill. But at the bottom, it says, you owe $800.
Uh-huh. And I imagine that many people who are in this situation are going to be able to rely on Medicare. Does that cover everything?
Medicare covers a great deal. It mm-hmm. does not cover everything. In fact, it may not cover certain specialties. It may not also cover the quality of care that you think your spouse or loved one deserves.
How much more are you going to have to pay for somebody to help you navigate all of this?
Well, it's very interesting. There's a whole new field, or not very new, but new because it's becoming more aware in the country because of the aging population of care managers, geriatric care managers, or many are called now life care managers. They've been around since the 1970s. Mm-hmm. But the hourly rate for some of these services can be as low as $35 or $45 per hour. I have seen them be well over $245 an hour.
Are the costs of the caregivers covered by insurance?
The cost of caregivers, unfortunately, in most cases are not. There are some, but in most cases, it is out of pocket.
So what advice would you have for someone who is looking for an aging life care manager?
I think one of the first things we can do is, I write in the longevity economy, is older adults, and by the way, that's a lot younger than most people think, in their 40s and 50s, if you will, should start thinking about how would they want care, to identify the care services that they would like, but also to have a frank discussion with their spouse and with their adult children as to what they would like, what they do not like, and how they're going to be able to afford it. But I would also look beyond the care about medication and food and bathroom breaks and everything like that, to also think about what are the technologies I can put into the home to enable me to stay in my house longer. So planning is more important than almost anything else.
And a lot of the new technologies that we're seeing are really helpful. You know, you think about something like Alexa or these smart speakers and the way that I use them versus the way that somebody who can't move as much would use them. They really are very helpful.
Absolutely. My colleagues at the MIT Age Lab are looking at the Internet of Things, where your house is going to be monitoring, managing, and motivating good behaviors at any age.
So have you done all the things you're telling us?
I have done only a few of them. So yeah, I'm saying do as I say, not as I have done yet. But do imagine this, though. 1 in 4 American families are providing upwards of 26 to 29 hours a week in elder care. This is a private problem with profound public implications.
That is Joe Coughlin, director of MIT's Age Lab. His book is The Longevity Economy, Unlocking the World's Fastest Growing, Most Misunderstood Market. Joe, thank you.
Thank you very much.